Bon chance, Brendan.
Oh, hi, Alan.
The Not a Thing podcast, episode 136, on tax day. Yay.
Oh, yeah, taxes. You ever feel like you left something running?
Well, the nice thing is the IRS is pretty good at following up on you if you forget. So hopefully none of you in podcast land forgot. Taxes are still a thing. They're like the ultimate thing, right? That and death.
I'd say neither of those are things.
Not things.
Well, they shouldn't be. Yeah, not things. Death, not a thing. Taxes, not a thing.
Yeah, not.
That's the Wesley Snipes way.
I was going to go with DMX, but okay.
Always been on Black Alan.
Right. Well, the Not A Thing podcast is back on the air. We're a day late and many dollars short.
Oh, yeah, no, wait, you're right. We are many dollars short.
Many dollars short. If you would like to...
If you want to sponsor us.
Yes, if you would like to sponsor us, help us out, let us know. We're happy to plug whatever you like on the air, literally anything. Imagine...
Hashtag flat earth.
Your words could be coming out of our mouths onto this show. Crazy, right?
I would have phrased that differently, but yeah, you're right.
Well, in any case, our show is 100% driven by us. So,
I think we got to give Google some credit.
Yeah, okay,
for bringing us together. We'll give them like 1% credit.
Yeah, and maybe a little to Apple too for that whole iTunes podcast infrastructure. Well,
oh yeah. Well, you give WordPress a percent.
Yeah.
Our hosting company.
Right.
Our domain registrar.
Right.
So like 95% driven by us.
And we do.
And that's being generous.
Yeah. And we do it mostly for the listeners, which are you. So, you know, if you would like to essentially help yourself out by donating the podcast, 100% a great idea.
Or if you want to donate your time by being a guest, that also is a thing.
That actually might be more of a thing, I think. But
or if you just want to remain anonymous and you're one of those people who likes to just listen and watch, that's okay too.
Yeah, that's how podcasts work, and they're great. So we're going to keep operating under the assumption that people are listening.
Hello! Echo, echo.
Just as the FAA is apparently going to keep operating under the existence of the no-fly list. We've talked about the infamous no-fly list a few times on the show. And how it's a bummer because it's a big secret and even the airlines don't know. They have to transmit their passenger manifests to someone at Homeland Security who cross-checks it against the secret no-fly list and then echoes it back and, you know, just has this up or down if people can go or people can fly. It's a list that has something like 50,000 people, 800 of which are American citizens. So it's kind of weird. But what's interesting is due to a number of lawsuits recently, one of which I believe we talked about on the air a while ago, but a number of lawsuits have resulted in the concession that they have to reveal whether you're on the list or not if you ask. And I don't know the parameters of how you ask exactly, but it is a step towards a little more transparency about that. I'm not sure it's a great step because you pretty much would only really ask if you were going to fly. And if you're going to fly, you might as well just try and buy a ticket and see what happens, I think. So I don't know. It's not great. It reminds me of a story about the FBI. And I don't know if this is true or not, but there was a story that if you don't have a file at the FBI, so you can ask if you have a file at the FBI, but if you don't and you ask if you have a file, you'll get a file and they'll put that you asked in that file.
What? So,
it's I don't know. It's silly. It's it's one of those like kind of weird stories that you know, urban legend kind of things. I don't know. I feel like the workings of government and being an urban legend should not be a thing. It should not be related. It should be a little more clear and obvious how those kinds of things work. It's a opinion we've expressed on the show more than once.
So it's the FBI Schrodinger list.
Right.
Like you are on and not on the list until it's observed.
Yeah, the no-fly list, thankfully I've not, or at least I hope not.
Now you can find out.
Right, exactly.
I wonder what I could do to get on that list without actually performing acts of terrorism.
You can have the same name as someone who performed acts of terrorism.
So I can just change my name. I don't think it's worth it.
Stranger things have been done by people on this show.
Really? I don't know if I'd be proud to be on the no-fly list. Like, I'm not even allowed on an airplane.
Yeah, probably not. I think there's a downside. No. Like,
yeah,
not
I can't
being
fly.
Able to fly. Right.
there goes Hawaii.
Yeah, I guess most of the country you can get to, even Alaska you can get to. I mean, it would just be one really long road trip, but it's doable. But Hawaii, I don't know. You'd have to go the like shipping container
swim.
Route or something. Yeah.
Whoa, container ship, not in a shipping container. I'm not going to human traffic myself to Oahu.
Well, no, you'd go to Kona because you want to go to the Big Island.
That's true. Yeah, okay, I'll human traffic myself there. I wonder if that's, I mean, this may be a terrible idea and I may immediately regret saying this, but what if a group of people were to go in on a shipping container and then hide in the shipping container, and then you could travel places very cheaply?
I think the act of loading and unloading and the possibility of dock worker strikes would severely limit like those kinds of things.
But even just like a short trip? I don't know.
You'd have to pack extra provisions just in case.
And like oxygen tanks and yeah. No. You'd have to put some thought into it, but I bet it could be really cost effective.
Hmm.
I mean, those people doing human trafficking, the horrible pieces of human garbage that they are, have to be turning a pretty good profit, so the overhead can't be that high.
Okay. Let's, if there are any listeners that can shed any light on this, please let us know.
And also, is it illegal to human traffic yourself?
The members of the Not a Thing podcast are not lawyers.
No. If there's a place for hearsay, it's on a podcast.
I believe everything what we say. Almost all of the things are hearsay. But one interesting thing about that is the fact that the podcast exists is a thing, as made kind of evident this week or last week by the Electronic Frontier Foundation. The EFF, as it's more quickly known anyway, filed some motions with the U.S. Patent Office, and this is in response to a few patent suits, or I'm not sure what you call it other than patent trolling, because that's what it is, by a company called Personal Audio, which was claiming a patent on podcasting. We've talked about that in the past. They were going after some small podcasters and some large ones as well, asking for royalties under penalty of lawsuit, and a lot of a lot of podcasters settled or otherwise kind of worked to avoid, you know, engaging with them legally. And EFF had filed some motions with the U.S. Patent Office to invalidate that patent, or at least parts of it. It was really interesting because the company, the normal patent troll kind of action is to buy a patent from somebody and then enforce it, whether they are actually sue to enforce it, whether they were actually, you know, using the patent or not. In this case, the patent that they were using was claiming that because they circulated, or the patent that they bought included the circulation of cassette tapes as a way of distributing kind of music or information, that was the equivalent of podcasting, and therefore they had the patent on podcasting, which is amazing.
Total bullshit.
The EFF also saw that as total bullshit and was able to successfully file some motions with the U.S. Patent Office, which invalidated at least that piece of the patent troll's argument, which is a significant piece. So it was kind of a big deal. We talked about it online a little bit. I retweeted the EFF and a bunch of people retweeted that. So that was cool. So hooray, podcasting. We're still on the air because of the actions of the Electronic Frontier Foundation and listeners everywhere. Listeners like you and me.
And me.
Of course, we wouldn't forget you, Brendan. You're running for office.
More about that later.
More about that now, right? Should we do that now?
I guess so. I've formed an exploratory committee to to get myself elected to public office. It's a thing. It's happening.
That's rad. That's rad. And I think what we should all do is visit a website that that you found this week about the AVS WinVote machine. This is a e-voting machine that this week was apparently decertified as a voting machine.
So finally.
So maybe it shouldn't be something you use, but you know, it's really interesting. I think the idea of electronically voting has a lot of appeal. It's on the, you know, cutting edge. It seems like it would make things faster. It would make the that process faster. The ability of people to vote to be easier. It has all
There's sorts no hanging
of,
chads.
Yeah, it has all sorts of hallmarks of like a good system, like a good change in the system, but not when it's implemented this way. So the news came out this week that the machines, which are essentially like touchscreen computers, you know, it's not a very complicated system, right? You're voting.
No, so. they run XP. That apparently, according to this article, has not been updated. The security for this version hasn't been upgraded in 11 years.
Wow.
It uses WEP encryption. And it uses default passwords. So, super hackable.
Default passwords. Awesome. So, the thing with WEP, if you don't know, is that web keys for encryption are encryption, but they're not great encryption. Because one of the ways to break it, and it's a pretty like well-known hack to break it, is that if you can sniff the traffic over the air and anyone can see it, if you capture enough packets, you can reconstruct the web key just from listening to the traffic that's been in the air. And it's kind of bad because it's again easily crackable. But the other thing that I noticed in the article is that not only do you can you hack into the voting machine itself to break into its encryption, the other thing it does is it uses the default Windows shares that that exist whenever you turn on a Windows machine, the C dollar sign and D dollar sign one. So assuming if you can join the network, all you have to do is go to those shares and you can see the entire file system and probably all of the votes just neatly packaged. I bet it's even in an unencrypted like CSV. I bet it's not even like an Excel document, which might have some encryption on it or a password. I bet it's just a flat text file that you can read. So, yeah, don't do it that way.
No. I mean, the problem with security and the internet is that no system is unbreakable. And if there's one thing you don't want people breaking, it's voting.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I was just talking with someone a couple days ago because as people have been announcing candidacy for 2016 president of the United States, one of the things that came up was just how statistically close votes have been, for the last few elections, and I'm sure, that'll kind of rear its head again, unless something very drastic happens around candidates. But it tends to come out in a two-party system anyway, in a very 50-50 kind of vote distribution, and that's really like weird. It's like, is it really that widely distributed? Or I mean, it almost feels like random chance would also come up with similar kinds of things. So my friend had said, if only they did like mobile voting, because everyone has a mobile phone. And I countered with, they can't even do static voting, right? We don't want people to do, voting for mobile phones. And also, for mobile phones, you can't guarantee it's one phone, one person. I mean, I know an unfortunate number of people who have multiple phones.
But the ease of voting from the can, Alan, how can you beat that?
I mean, that's the everyman, really. I mean, everybody poops, as they say.
So, about my political ambitions.
Yeah.
I have not yet determined what office I'm going to run for.
Okay.
I have not determined what party, if any, I will run with. Likely, I will be running as a complete independent. But my whole idea behind this is to actually represent the people. So you, the podcast listeners, if you have suggestions on what office I should run for or what you think I should be standing for, let us know. That's the whole idea. It's awesome. Representative government. Let me represent the people.
Sounds good, man. If I'm in your jurisdiction, I will vote for you.
All right. That's what we need. More votes.
Although, the way we record the podcast, it's very likely I'm not.
Yeah. Well, I mean, someday you might be within my jurisdiction.
Right. We can gerrymander the hell out of it. 100-mile long district line. We're all over that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and I will not be taking any corporate contributions.
Okay.
No campaign contributions.
Please give them to the podcast.
Shut up. I wasn't going to funnel the funds. We can cut this out.
We'll cut this out. Right, right. It'll just be like the...
Yeah.
Just like the Nixon tapes, right.
Yeah, right.
Well, speaking of cutting things out, the Brontosaurus for paleontology fans had been cut out of paleontology for quite a while. And this week, it's making a return. I guess a paleontologist is arguing that Brontosaurus, which I actually don't even know when that started happening, that Brontosaurus, people were like, no, it's not Brontosaurus. That's not a thing anymore. It's Apatosaurus. I remember hearing Brontosaurus as a dinosaur name, and then hearing Apatosaurus, and then being confused, and then I had I believe I was, oh, how do you say this, paleontologically shamed into being told that no, it's Apatosaurus, it's not Brontosaurus. And so I find great vindiction in the news story that Brontosaurus is being shown as a separate species, and hopefully I wasn't that wrong in my youth. Hopefully.
I actually feel better about this than Pluto losing its planethood. I'm on board with that. It's not a planet. I mean, it may have been a planet of my childhood, but it's not a planet.
Yeah. Well, I'm not. Yeah, I think this is nice because it is kind of coming back, whereas that was like something going away. It's kind of a bummer, but
we should take this as a sign, and they should reboot Dinosaurs, the TV show. Bring it back.
The sitcom?
The sitcom, yes, with the puppets.
Not the mama. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Not the mama. Indeed, Alan. Not the mama.
I just wish that a movie company would make a dinosaur movie that doesn't have talking dinosaurs. I believe there was Dinosaur and then Walk with Dinosaurs in the last, it's probably a lot more than 5 years. It's probably 10 years now. But I feel like those were two movies that when the trailers came out, they were wordless. It was just these beautiful shots of, Earth covered in megaflora and fauna and dinosaurs, and it was really cool. And then when you watch the movie, dinosaurs are talking, and it's Land Before Time all of a sudden. It's like not, I don't know, not a thing.
Land Before Time, not a thing. Well, I know that's controversial.
Anything after the first one, I think. I'm okay with the first one. I think all the other straight-to-video ones, I don't know.
I just remember that being a real bummer.
It was. It was a real bummer.
You know, it wasn't a bummer? Dinosaurs. The TV show with a 92-inch television.
Indeed. Yeah. Yeah, okay. I'd be okay with that. I'd be on board with that. But I'm a big fan of dinosaurs, and I think dinosaur elitism is not a thing.
Well, I don't know how much it's elitism as it was science at work.
I don't know. That one kid who, I don't know, it was just the face he made when he's like, Brontosaurus? No, it's called Apatosaurus. Wow, I've left a deep scar.
Apparently, we've touched a nerve. Do you remember the kid's name?
I don't. I remember it being, it was kindergarten, so that was quite a while ago.
That was quite, was that in the Paleolithic era?
Oh, yeah, you know, maybe Mesolithic, actually. But,
okay.
Precambrian. Oh, yeah. Yeah, dinosaurs, thing. Brontosaurus, a thing. Apatosaurus, still a thing. Everything works. Yeah. Everybody's happy.
Yeah. Yeah, well, except the dinosaurs, because they're all dead.
Way to bring it down, man.
As they should stay, if Jurassic Park has taught us anything. No.
I'm still
nature
on board.
Finds a way to kill you.
I'm still on board for Jurassic World.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to watch that.
I have no idea what it's going to be about, except what's in the trailer, which is pretty much the movie. So, I'm
just because I watch something for entertainment doesn't mean I support it. I mean, I'm going to watch Terminator Genesis and I'm probably going to like it, but I don't support cyborgs or robot assassins in any form.
No. Well, it's escapism, right?
Yeah.
Escaping the robots.
Has there been a robot dinosaur movie? I feel like there was.
Huh. Robot dinosaurs.
And I'm not counting made for TV sci-fi on Sci-Fi Channel.
Yeah, I don't know. Not since the Dinobots. Nothing like Oh, there was a Dinobot in the last Transformers outing, I think.
Oh, was there? I did not watch it.
I did not either, but I did see, I want to say Optimus Prime writing it in the commercial.
What?
Yeah.
Lame.
Yeah. How much more childhood ruining can Michael Bay do? Really?
don't challenge him. He'll do it.
He might hear. Well, let's move away from brontosauruses, but in kind of a slightly different way. Let's go the Jurassic Park route and talk about genetically modifying things, but not dinosaurs. Instead, we're talking about cheese.
Cheese grommet. Cheese.
Beautiful. Yeah, the cheese is one of those things that, you know, pretty much requires cows, and so it makes it unfriendly to anyone that aspires to a vegan lifestyle because there's cows involved. I mean, it's not, you're not eating a cow thing, although they would argue that anything that comes from that cow is a cow's, you know, property.
That's how you get your super vegan powers.
Right.
Like in Scott Pilgrim.
But scientists this week, or at least recently, have engineered a way to make cheese without a cow. And I'm not exactly sure how they do this. It's the process of cheese is...
they still use cow DNA.
Yeah, okay.
But they don't use actual cow milk.
Okay. Right, they're using different proteins, and they're acted upon by a genetically modified yeast that will process it into a milk. So you're using a base protein that isn't what you would normally start with, but what you end with is effectively milk from that cow, or from that genetic material that could have come from a cow at one time or another. So you will get cheese from it, and in theory, that's vegan. I think you might be stretching it a little bit. I mean, you are starting with some DNA, so it did, you know, come from an animal of some sort. And I think because they're
dead
using
cow babies.
Because
where do you think they get the DNA from, people?
Well, because they're also using yeast, is yeast not an animal? I guess it's not.
I don't think it counts because you can drink booze and be vegan.
Yeah, I guess.
Actually, yeast... I would think if you're vegan, you'd have to drink booze. I'm not going through life vegan and sober.
I guess it's a. I guess it's, you know, the, what is it, animal kingdom, vegetable. What are the four? It's animal, vegetable, fungus, and
the other.
The other thing. Right. That's what viruses are, right? Isn't that how that works? Bacteria and viruses? So I guess yeast falls in under that. Wow, I didn't pay attention in biology as much as I paid attention in, like, physics, I think.
Well, I mean, you could have paid attention as much as you wanted. It's been a while since you took the class. We forget things. If you don't use it, you lose it.
Right, right. It's true. It's true. I haven't had to name all the, what is it, the kingdom, phylum, class, order, family, genus, species. Kids playing catch on freeway get squished.
That checks out. I don't know. I'm not sure that I support this because I feel like cheese is a type of food that is not made just with science. I feel like there's an art to it as well.
Yeah.
And to take the artistry out of it, that makes us live in a darker, more stark world.
I mean, I think depending on what it comes out as, I think there's still some amount of art to be done. It's just, it's not done at a level that like the normal person can kind of work with without a gene sequencer and a centrifuge.
I don't think this is the future of cheese, but I did see in the article that they do want to make a cheese based on the milk of a narwhal whale.
Oh.
And I would try that once. But no.
Yeah. I will admit to legally having whale sushi. And I'm not a fan. Not a fan. I think certain animals should not be used for certain foods. And I think that might have been one of them. But I don't know. I think
you ate a thinky animal, Alan. You don't eat thinky animals. Well, I guess except pigs. Bacon's really good. Pigs are pretty smart. Not smart enough to not get killed at a farm.
Well, two legs good, four legs bad. But for narwhal milk, I think if it were genetically created and you're not kind of messing with an actual narwhal.
I don't think they're milking whales.
Yeah, I think that would be interesting. It would be really interesting to know like nutritional like breakdowns and also like what I feel like that's something that, you know, it could be the next like artisanal thing, except you'd have to again have some kind of crazy lab to do it. There's no farm to table action on this.
There's no farm. Lab to table food.
Right. I think engineered food.
The future of hipster vegan cheese.
Yeah, really. It really would be. I mean, this goes in the same bucket as that the meat, the 3D printed meat, if you remember that.
Oh, yeah. I already decided that's not a thing.
And there was artistry in that because you could only make them in like really fine sheets, and then you had to because they were essentially grown in petri dishes, so they were flat, so you would grow slices of the meat and then you would pile them up, and that would make your burger, which sounds fantastically unappetizing. But for some reason, lab grown cheese doesn't sound that bad to me, but I don't know.
I don't know. I guess I'm just against anything that's helping vegans.
There was that one.
Sorry, aspect, vegan listeners.
There was that one aspect of the story that I think is not a thing. The other animal that they could essentially create cheese from.
People.
Yes.
Nope.
Yeah, no, not a thing. I know I had that growing up. Actually, I didn't. Now that I think about it, I was told that I had to drink Similac, which is a soy based milk when I was growing up, because I was essentially lactose intolerant for the early part of my life. So,
or so you were told.
Right. I mean, you know, I don't know. Who knows? Who knows what I was drinking when I was growing up?
Wasn't there something you were told you were allergic to?
Oh, there were tons of things. parental based do as I say, not as I do kind of motions. One of them was eggs. Like, I could not eat eggs.
That's a lot.
Until I was away from home, essentially, because my parents would not let me eat eggs because they thought I was allergic to them. I think.
Did they let you eat bacon?
I did eat a fair amount of bacon, so that was okay.
That bacon must have been so lonely without the eggs.
It had a lot of rice to hang around with. So.
Okay.
Yeah. The other thing for eggs. And this is actually pretty common, is that a lot of people develop an allergy to eggs after they've been given a vaccine, because a lot of vaccines are cultured in eggs. And so it's your body's kind of overreaction to the way that the vaccine was created. Which I think is a small price to pay for vaccines.
We're not at all saying do not vaccinate.
No.
Vaccination is the thing.
100% pro-vaccination. Anti-vax people are not a thing.
No. And if it weren't for the effect that it has on everybody else and the poor children who don't get a choice, yeah. I would say go ahead and don't vaccinate yourself. But that's not how that works. Right. So everybody really needs to vaccinate.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially because I'm going to go to Disney World at the second week of May. Although
are you being provided with a hazmat suit?
I guess the measles thing was Disneyland, so hopefully none of those kids are coming to Disney World. Hopefully. But let's see. Have vegan cheese? I don't know. I think the jury's out. I'd like to try it.
Try it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to badmouth it, but I will also try it. Because life is an adventure, and you should seize every opportunity.
Right.
Unless it's whale meat. Don't eat whale meat.
Really not a thing, really, actually. Please take it from me.
It was in Norway, wasn't it?
It was in Norway.
I knew it.
I think
again.
There's something about, like, they have a national limit on the number of whales that they can capture for food, and so it's kind of a big deal when they get a whale, and it was not great. It was kind of similar, actually. Not too long ago, I had blowfish sushi at, ironically named, Blowfish Sushi. it's a place. Place in San Jose. You'd think they would at least call it like fugu or, you know, the Japanese name, so it stands out a little bit. But no, they don't. But I had the blowfish, which is, supposedly cut from a very poisonous fish, so they have to cut it in a very specific way. So the chefs are supposedly really highly trained. I remember having it and just being kind of underwhelmed. I think the thing that made it work is that they gave you free sake with it, so that was nice. But yeah, I think stunt foods in general, not a thing. And I'm including like the eat 12 like ridiculously hot wings in 15 minutes. Those kinds of challenges too. It's like, no, it's probably for the best to just not do that. Eating is such a joyful experience. It should be, you know, enjoyed, not, you know, tossed into competitions.
Leave it to Kara Kobayashi.
Excellent. Well, that seems like a good place as any to put the podcast to bed for this week. Again, if you would like to be on the show, let us know. We're happy to have you as a guest. You don't have to be physically in any specific place other than wherever you have an internet connection, because we do it over Google Plus, as we've talked about in the past. It's fun. It's easy. Yeah, we'd love to have you on. In the meantime, stay tuned for the adventures of Brendan in public service land. We'll see how that goes. I'm sure we'll get updates as it happens.
We will also have an update next week from Doug Benson's 419 Countdown Show.
Oh, excellent.
Which the podcast will be attending in force.
Are there tickets still available for that? Do you know?
I think so.
Oh, okay. Well, if you would like to go and you'd like to see us at the show, go ahead and buy those tickets and let us know. And we'll be happy to say hi to you in an awkward way.
You will be acknowledged. Don't address me directly and don't look me in the eyes. I will let you know when it is okay to approach.
Excellent. Well, Brendan, I will talk to you next week, but I will see you on Sunday.
Till next time, Alan.